Yep, yep. Okay. Zeg maar, meneer Kamp.
Ja.
Oké.
Okay. Open.
Gaat het omslaan, hè?
Ja, de wind is al gedraaid.
We doen nog even mee, of niet?
Ja. En dan gaan ze mensen van de baas om een keer naar de lijnen van een tent te kijken.
Oh, ja, ja, ja.
Doe je ook mee? Doe je ook mee? Oh.
Toch niet, hoop ik, hè?
Good day. Welcome to the early morning radio show. Good morning to you all.
Hi, Brenno.
104.7 FM. We are listening to the Omroep. And Andreas, you're the only one without a microphone just yet. And
shared with the engineer.
Yes. There's a change going on. What's happening?
Well, I think I noticed the wind has turned.
That's correct.
And there's some dark, ominous clouds gathering on the west, southwestern side of the campsite. So
yes.
I take the chance now to check on your tent and see if it's secure enough to handle a few gusts of wind.
And I can promise you all, you will be very jealous that I'm wearing wooden shoes.
Yes,
I will be floating.
Yes, that's definitely true. There is rain expected at 6 p.m. Even some thunder clouds. Some thunder. So it's going to be, let's say, at least interesting. So just be aware of that. Be careful. And we've got a full table right now. I'll start from left to right. Next to me is Arno Reuser. You heard him already.
Hello, everybody.
You're retired.
Yeah, well. sort of. I used to work for the Dutch Defense Intelligence and Security Service. I'm proud of it. It's the best job I've ever had. I'm a librarian. A very old-fashioned name for what in fact is an information freak.
We don't need librarians. We've got Google nowadays.
Google is not a library. Google is an ad-producing machine. Google lives by selling ads. That's what they do. They produce ads. They don't produce search results. The whole purpose is to sell things. I don't mind that, as long as you know. Their purpose is to sell ads. That's why they want to know everything from you. And the only purpose why they give you so-called search results is to produce your ads. That's it. That's all they do. It's got nothing to do with library work. A library is a structured, organized set of hand-picked, selected information to solve a particular information need of a certain community. And that is not what Google does. With all respect for Google, it's a fantastic company. But it's not a search engine, it's an ad-producing machine. That's it.
And how do I search on the internet then?
Why would you? If you have a library. People always ask me, what is the best search engine in the world? And I always say, that's you. That's you yourself. You know the best. You know how to analyze the question. You know best what you want. You can interpret the question in such a way that you can find the best possible information out there. Give a set of results with very low recall, just a few hits with high relevance. But Google does it precisely the other way around. You don't always need Google if you just ask yourself one question. The primary question, if you have a information requirement, is what is the most possible, the best possible source, the most reliable source, the most plausible source that may have an answer to my question. And if you think that, you won't need a search engine.
Well, doesn't the search engine become the tool then? If you just ask yourself, where can I find my answer? And the answer would be most likely Google. And I apply your logic to this, right? The logic is that I apply my power as a human being, as an interpreter, to the results that Google provides to me. Then they sort of complement each other, right?
And no, that's not what I mean. If you have very strict, very simple, very strict, straightforward questions, like, I want to know what is the basis of a certain company or who owns what other company.
Right.
For that, you go to, let's say, Dun & Bradstreet, because they have that information and they're an authorized source. Why go to Google? What you may want to do is go to Google and use that as your vehicle to go to Dun & Bradstreet. But if you know your sources, why don't you go immediately to an authoritative source? If I want to know something about the technical backgrounds of PCs or data communication networking, why don't I ask the people around here instead of going to Google? Google is just a means to get to a very good source. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, yes, but that's the point, because you sort of assume, if you cancel out Google, you sort of assume that you already know the source, but you're going to have to find the source somehow, and I guess this is where Google comes into play, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. So, and then, even then, I would argue that you only use Google to find, let's say, experts or, in your opinion, authoritative figures who can help you find the correct source.
Well, so
that's how I use Google, just to prepare for finding my answer in an authoritative source.
But that was also the point of Google, because Google recognizes this, right? And they say, and I'm not here to defend Google, but they say, we want to be sure that you understand that the sources we provide you, one of these sources is an advertisement company, and that's most likely the best source in our opinion, but maybe not in your opinion. And their company strategy basically is, it's put in like a yellow banner, right? So you can see this is an advertisement, and this is only here because it's semi-relevant to what I'm searching for, and you can make up your own mind. And that's why I don't want to, you know, say Google is great, but I think it's good that at least the company that has the biggest market share right now is the company that really recognizes this. Because if you look at, example, at China, where Baidu is the biggest company, the biggest search engine, they sort of say, okay, you pay more, and therefore we sort of tell the people that you're the best source there is, and they don't say that we tell you this is the best source only because they pay more.
And you say that doesn't happen with Google?
I'm assuming it doesn't, but of course I cannot verify this.
But that's the old Google. Since a few years, Google has started selling more and more advertisements, and they come up higher and higher and higher, so the real sources are usually next page over, or even the next page after that.
You don't even know how the algorithm works.
I'm not saying they're a transparent company, and I guess Google actually also says they're not, and that's why I'm not here to defend Google, but
no,
I think it's good that at least, you know, they talk about this, and they acknowledge that this is a thing, and Baidu just didn't, well, okay, it's China,
so it's not the greatest example. Isn't your point that basically you let Google decide for you instead, and that you entice people to let them decide for themselves?
Google manipulates the search results and the rankings of the search results completely. I've always denied for years and years that they're using whitelists. They do. They do deliberately favor certain websites and certain results, regardless whether they should be on top or on the bottom, according to the algorithms. They've always denied making use of paid inclusions. They do. You can actually pay them, and they'll make sure that your company will end up higher in the rankings. It's all dependent on how many ads they can sell. So it's not an objective search engine at all. And you're right, it's a fantastic company. I've got nothing against Google. I use DuckDuckGo, I use Blacko, I use Google a lot, and I like it. But my point is that we should be aware of its limitations, and we should be aware that there are other methods as well. And if you can make this balanced decision which method you use, then I would be happy.
I guess the keyword here then is balance. With you know, using Google and also deciding to use Google in the first place, or maybe the library, because they have a different bias, right?
We've got two other studio guests.
Hello, Thomas here.
Yeah, Thomas, and you Google?
No, I'm not from Google.
No, do you use Google?
Yes, I use Google. I have also Android phone.
Okay, and when you hear this from Arno?
I agree that the most having a healthy dose of skepticism is very important. For example, a few years ago, my brother was tasked in preparing some essay on evolution for the secondary school, and he put the search term evolution in Polish, and the first page contained only the creationism stuff. So I needed to point him, okay, this is bullshit, you need to search for some better terms, or you need to ignore such pages.
Travis?
Howdy.
Good speech, sorry. You Google?
I do a lot of things that I'm not proud of. And, you know, I just hope that in time, after spending more time on archive.org and library-style sites, that I'll earn your forgiveness.
You're forgiven.
Thank you kindly.
No harm feelings at all. I mean, the other thing is that Google is based on a certain algorithm. It's a citation-based algorithm where the more websites point or link to a certain website, the higher that target website ends up in the final rankings. So it's based on citations. Whereas Blacko is based on a quality criterion assigned by users, by people. And that's why I like this Blacko search engine so much, because Blacko is based on a quality criterion by users who by definition know better, I think, than a machine. Now you may disagree with the quality control mechanisms of users, but at least it fills a gap that Google leaves behind. So if you say in Google...
You would call it crowd searching or...?
No, quality control.
Quality control,
so
okay.
What happens is, if you, let's say, look for depleted uranium shells, these military arms, depleted uranium, and you put behind it a slash tag conservative, you will only search conservative websites. If you put behind it a slash liberal, you will only find liberal websites. So in one search, CNN pops up as being liberal, and in the other one, Fox News, because it's conservative. Now, you may disagree with the exact selections there, but it's a great approach to solving the gap that Google leaves behind in quality control.
But is this the best example? Because it's kind of black and white, because CNN, not everybody would agree that CNN is a liberal website, right?
Yeah. We've got a lot more to discuss, and it's time for a little bit of music and closing down the radio studio again, because the wind is really getting in a little bit too much. Go.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Oh, goeie. 1 minuut 21. 1:03. Oh ja, er een jingeltje achterheen. Moet die aan de andere kant ook dicht, Brenno?
5. Finally, there's some wind. Now they're closing it out.
I know. Change.
I never understood these hackers, you know.
That is your problem.
Well, that's a hacker conference, right? This is the wind of change coming.
Yeah, we don't like that. Yeah.
Je was lekker met zwemmen.
Zwemmen?
Dan is een meer verderop.
Oh.
Maar je hebt een goede tijd gekozen, want hiernaast het zwembad klaar, denk ik.
Ja,
ik was nu al googlend af van het aanmoedigen, wat ik heel raar vind van mij, want meestal zeg ik zelf. Maar ja, andere kant van de tafel, hè. Nee, ik zeg, ik ben Google aan het aanmoedigen, bedacht ik me net, maar... Nee, dat moet ik ook helemaal niet doen. Maar ja, anders heb je zo weinig discussie als iedereen met elkaar eens is.
Ik heb verhulp.
Nou ja, dat is toch ook wat waard. Ja, nou, dat is dan niet per se Google. Google helpt me wel, zegt van, oké, als jullie dan dat doen, dan doen wij dit, oké? En dan gezamenlijk.
Wat zei
die? We hebben echt niks te klagen.
Ja, dat gaan we regelen.
Deze hele conferentie hoeft helemaal niet.
Eén minuut 13, 1 minute and 10 seconds.
What does that mean?
That in 1 minute and 10 seconds we are getting the jingle and then moving on to build the show.
Leon.
Is it jingle?
Ja, eerst de jingle.
What's your background?
Another jingle.
I'm a reverse engineer.
Okay. What's a reverse engineer?
The on-air protocol for
the Star's
satellite
radio network. Yeah, but you can
when you go on something you will. Repurposing a US Navy warship's satellite dish to track satellites from lower orbit with half a degree.
Wow. Are you a mathematician?
No.
Is this tool?
Programmer, reverse engineer.
Okay, right.
Auto mechanic, fail state last. Made church windows for a decade.
Yeah. So, what's that?
Made church windows.
What is that?
Van die glas in de rood gaan.
Oh, okay, right. No, I'm sorry. I associate, Windows with something else. Really? Church windows? Wow.
Thomas.
Yes.
Yes, where are you from?
I'm from Poland. I currently work as the iOS developer in the private company. I used to work in academia on some research with RFID and privacy.
Yes, and what did you find? What brings you here?
I had yesterday the lecture about using your phone to trace yourself. I came out from the description who is tracing us, and it's basically everything, because it's the governments, it's the companies who sell the phones, the companies who produce the phones and operating systems, the applications providers. And my main idea is why not to use also the same data which is gathered by those companies to observe ourselves, to see how we are doing, whether there are some changes in our lives, for example, which we do not see because they are not so obvious.
Have you got an example? Can you...
One example might be there was some research done recently by the, I believe some of the members of this research team were from Microsoft Research China, and they analyzed the behavior of the users of mobile phones, and it seems when people are more depressed, more anxious, they tend to switch more frequently between applications. Where people are happy, they are using one application for longer. If people are depressed, they do not feel so well, so they are trying to compensate this by switching between applications, thinking maybe another application will bring them relief or
something. So I switch a lot between applications, so I'm really depressed.
But which one brings you happiness, Brenna?
Sorry?
Which application brings you happiness?
And you don't know.
Crazy birds.
No, I don't use that. No angry birds, no crazy birds, no nothing birds. I give all these applications to birdie.
What is the birdie? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's too explicit to say on radio, so...
Okay, yeah, I understand. Yeah. When your normal mode of operation, when you normally are switching between applications frequently, it doesn't mean that you are depressed. It just means that that you work this way. But if, for example, your normal state is that you watch some, let's say, movies for half an hour and then go to the check your email and answer for those emails, and when then you suddenly start, okay, you watch a movie for 5 minutes, then switch to email, check that there is nothing interesting going on, and then you try, then you switch to maybe Facebook and try to see what's going on. This might be some symptom that something changed in your behavior.
But for most of the nerds present here, this is a total normal way of operating.
Yes.
I'm checking mail, checking news, checking mail, checking news, doing something else, checking mail, checking news.
Well, but that's you.
Yeah,
and you're Breno, and you're all over the place. But and most of the nerds here are, right? But yeah. I have a question. If, for example, you have to take in account the period of the switching between apps a lot, because sometimes, you know, we would be on a app shopping spree, and most of them are well, not great, and therefore you also switch between apps a lot. It is a different purpose, right? But and if you take into account that it has to go, that you have to monitor people for a long time to decide if they're anxious, then there may also be people like, well, people who are all over the place like Breno. So how do you distinguish those two?
We currently don't know yet how to deal with it, because only recently we have phones powerful enough to measure most of the things, and currently from literature review I did, it seems like nobody has yet started to analyzing the data from different sources. For example, from the phone, from the GPS, from similar.
So you're saying if you correlate the data from, well, where your movement and your phone and where you're going and who you're talking to, etc., then you can actually paint a more clear picture.
Definitely, because let's say, for example, usually I read a book for hour per day on my device. If then I stopped reading this book, and we only know this fact that I stopped reading book on my device, this might mean many different things. Maybe I bought another device. Maybe I bought, I don't know, some kind of Kindle, and I'm using this Kindle, not my mobile phones, to read. Maybe I have some interesting project and I do not have time for reading so much. Maybe I'm in new relationship, and then I don't have so much time for reading, or maybe I'm starting to get depressed, and I really have this decrease in activity is the symptom of something bad going on with my psyche. That's why I believe we to get truthful picture we would need to see more data from different sources.
And your point would be we have to actually cooperate with the spying on us to make it more useful to ourselves.
No. I think the point here is that he accepts as a fact. The fact is that it is happening.
Right.
And everybody is benefiting from it.
Like Google, right?
But not us.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's what I said. You have to cooperate, because you have to accept the fact, then you cooperate, and then you can benefit yourself. Then,
yeah. Hey, by the way, another question. How do you get all the data from the phone? How do you do that? Did you build an application, or what did you do?
There are some different libraries for this. In the last few years, this changed, because there was some research done by Nathan Eagle from Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and he had to get the special phones with the special firmware from Nokia to be able to do this. Now, with the rise of smartphones like Android, we can. There are some special libraries to access this, like for example Dynamics, which go into the.
And did you build an application?
Not yet.
But you are planning to.
Yes.
I want to have that application. I want to play around with my own data.
I agree. And as the answer to having to cooperate with those companies or entities spying us, I'm not sure this might be necessary, because we are, or at least should be, in control of our devices. So this means that the data should, in my opinion, stay on device, and we should not send it to the cloud and then ask nicely those companies or spying agencies to have access to this data. That's why, for example, I would be really interested in some health monitoring applications or workout monitoring applications, but most of the of those which are currently available required to having the account on the web, and they upload without any possibility of disabling it your data to the server, which is then compared with data from different people. And I don't want for any government to trace how much do I weigh, how much push-ups can I do particular day, and so on. I want for this data to be mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying you don't want to correlate the data, because if you know there's no way to correlate the data and not give it over to other services, but there's also no way to make, you know, a very good measurement only from one device. And if you don't, so you either you start your own data center and make your own correlations, or
I believe that we first the default mode of such applications should be that the data is private, and then sharing data should be optional, and the developers of the applications should say, okay, we are uploading this and this and this kind of data in this and this format, and those are the operations which are performed on this data to, let's say, anonymize this for some statistical purposes to compare this data. I've heard some presentation about doctors and about a health monitoring service which was monitoring performance of the doctors, and
yes,
they did not want to deal with privacy issues, and also they did not want for doctors to be against this system. So basically they did not make public which doctor have had which performance measures, but for each doctor they provided the graph, the histogram of performance of all doctors, and they put the red dot on this particular doctor performance, which allowed first for doctor to compare with others, and second to protected privacy of the doctors.
Nice. You're okay?
Yes.
You want some water?
Yeah,
I'll grab you one.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
It wasn't a question, but an announcement.
Oh, thanks.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Okay.
He wants two waters, right?
Oh. Gogo Bordello.
What kind of shit music is that?
That is Gogo Bordello.
No, it's not. It's a syntax error, if you ask me. Can you get me a bottle? Oh, thank you very much.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I can have
libraries, right? What were they initially built for? Because they're not built for spying on yourself.
Ik heb een deel van het gesprek gemist.
There's a lawsuit going on in Tennessee right now.
The device.
Advertisement for the plaintiff's rock band. Claiming that Apple has ruined great sex.
Yes.
Apple has rewired the plaintiff's brain digitally.
But is it for commercial purposes, like for targeted advertisement?
Then,
or is it just
for
statistics?
$75,000 or
is it, let me rephrase. Is it open source or is it commercially available? Oh, so it's actually for statistics.
The argument of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Bizarre.
Kickville said, you know, when will these people realize they're not making any better than rock and roll?
A friend of mine is a lawyer in Maryland, and he once had a case of a friend who had bought a very expensive box of cigars, human cigars, worth $15,000 or something.
Of
he had them insured against everything, theft, lost, fire, etc., etc. And then they decided to smoke a cigar. After which the owner sent an application to the insurance company for loss of a cigar.
Yes.
Because it was burned, and he was insured for that. So he wanted his money back. And after 2 months, the insurance company wrote him back a subpoena to go to court for arson.
Yeah, you can do so much more, but we have only explored half.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And that is the crime.
And,
I found that brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I didn't
waste
so
money.
I didn't realize. I mean,
you don't have
a big waste of money.
I sort of don't want to look at my life patterns because it can make me, you know, depressed. I guess a whole lot of people have that.
Yeah.
But of course, it's a free choice. But just, did you ever realize?
15 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
Ports.
We're coming rougher. Ja, die, ik ben ook best fan van de drummer, hè, van de band. Vooral aan die hanenkam van hem.
Brenno, moet je niet enthousiast doen, want er stoort de spul hier.
Wat zeg je?
Er stoort de audio.
Oké.
Okay. This kind of music is 30 years old.
Yes, but still I like it.
I did that when I was 18. But God, what's wrong with you? Oh, it's gone. Cut.
We're coming rougher every time. Gogo Bordello. Travis.
Howdy.
We were chit-chatting a little bit, catching up, and then you told me you bought a car. And I thought, like, somebody who buys a car needs to be in a radio show.
Well, I recently got my American residency back, and part of this is that you can vote, and part of this is that you can drive, and part of this is that you can buy guns. And so I, you know, in getting in touch with my people's native culture, I bought a television news crew van. It has a 20-meter pneumatically extended radio tower with azimuth and elevation control on the top, intended to act as a microwave station.
Wait. The letter you didn't tell me before, you bought it not to start broadcasting, but to microwave?
Well, microwave frequencies. So it has a directional microwave antenna, and the idea is that you can park the truck, raise the tower, and have your own microwave communications tower.
Yes, yes.
Wherever you like. This is intended for television news crews, so that they can show up on site, they can raise the tower, and they can send the audio and video back to the studio.
Yep.
But I bought it so that I can map where these towers are and listen to what they're saying to each other.
What's the point?
Well, the point is to see what's going on. I mean, you have these
towers. They're already broadcasting in free air, so everybody can listen.
No, you get more data than that.
Oh, right.
Right, so they're in the free air, but they're not necessarily advertised. So
you get the raw data. You get the absolute raw data, not just the reports themselves, but the start and the ends and the things they won't show you.
Okay, so the primary question is there anything interesting you can share with us now?
Well, I only bought it 2 weeks ago. I have yet to do anything but drive it back to my house.
Oh, so Brenno sort of made you talk about it without any experience.
Well, I'm working on it. It's an extension of a project called the Southern Appalachian Space Agency. We have two satellite ground stations, and this will be our third. The second station is an L-band dish that I bought from a United States Navy warship. Yeah. And it has azimuth and elevation control that's very fine because it's supposed to hold a lock on a satellite from a ship that is rocking. So the ship rocks and it turns and all of that, and the satellite dish had gyroscopes in order to follow that. So what I did was I extended that with new motor controller boards so that I can aim it at any satellite I want in the sky, even the ones that are moving, and I can track them as they're moving. I can also track deep space. I can point this at stars and through a software patch, turn it into a radio telescope.
Wow.
It looks like you are creating your own intelligence agency.
Well, might as well. I don't think that Tennessee has one.
That would be useful. Wait. Regardless of the technology, why on earth would you want to live in Tennessee?
It's lovely. Beer is cheap and it's very good. Food is very cheap. The taxes are nothing. You know, I pay $1.50 for 0.7 liters of perfect beer in a nice restaurant in the middle of downtown. I pay $10 for a sushi-grade tuna steak. My brother just bought a 5-acre farm with a functioning mechanics garage, including a pneumatic lift, for raising cars to work from beneath them. He paid $52,000 for that.
Can I move in?
If you pay for it, sure.
Easy.
We're also taking in German refugees.
Yeah.
That's
a pity.
So if you're fleeing oppression here in Europe, you know, you're welcome to come to Tennessee. And
yeah. Wait. You're telling now Europeans go to the U.S. to be a little bit more free?
Yes. In the United States, in every single one of them individually, all 50, parents are allowed to teach their children at home so long as they pass certain tests. In Europe, this is generally illegal, and in Germany, it's very illegal. So German families, particularly religious families, because they're the ones who decide to do this, who teach their children at home get fined. And so they wind up with 20,000 euros in fines, and then police will show up at their houses to take their children to school in the morning. In Tennessee, this doesn't happen. So there was a German family that moved to Morristown, Tennessee, that successfully claimed asylum by pointing out that they were persecuted for this action that's completely legal in Tennessee, but very illegal in Germany.
Bizarre. Yes.
But what's the point of, I mean, why do these people really, 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 obviously, really want to teach their kids themselves? They move to the other side of the world for this, so.
Well, they have weird religious beliefs, but, you know, we've legalized that.
They have different beliefs.
Well, yeah.
I had to point this out.
Okay, but, I mean, in Germany, they're not allowed to teach their children for fear that they will give their children ideas that would be different from what they would get in the state school.
Well, that is not really. I mean, I spoke to an American from, he is from close to New Jersey, and he told me that his three-year-old son is going to school now, and he was, you know, with his wife, sitting at the table talking about a flag, not even the American flag, just a flag for on a boat or whatever. And he realized that his son was actually mumbling the Pledge of Allegiance at the table. So I do see where these people are coming from, because he didn't teach him this. This is what the school taught him. And ironically enough, this is an American example, not a German one, but it's probably sort of the same globally all around the world, right?
Yes, our schools have plenty of problems with them. We do all sorts of things that we really shouldn't do in our schools, like you know, the parroting of pledges before children know what it means and that sort of stuff. But we also have the option to not go through that. You can teach your children outside of that system, and it's not particularly hard to escape from it.
Okay, and do many people do that in the U.S.?
A lot do. Many do it because they live in an area where there is where it's too far to go to the school, or because they have religious beliefs that they want to pass on to their children. It's also done for children who wind up with issues with the schools, so like particularly severe bullying, or if the child has a career, so for example, like people who get into sports or into dance or music or those professions where you really need to practice day and night from an early age in order to compete, they will often do this as a way to spend half of their school day on their chosen concentration.
Okay, but is there a lot of economic implications here? Because I imagine that a parent who's teaching is not a parent who is working. And this, of course, in the olden days, this was perfectly fine that one of the parents stayed at home, but times are changing, and we sort of, both parents usually work nowadays, at least here in Europe. Is that different over there?
Quite a few people work from home. Not everyone has the time to spend with their children to do this. So it's not something that is a general replacement. It's not as if we don't have public schools. We do. And we also have private schools, and we also have church schools, and we have all sorts of different schools. This is just another option that we've chosen to allow.
Okay, well, as far as I know, we only have a certain type of school here. I might be wrong. But is it because you have such an open system where there's like a couple of guidelines, and if the child or the semi-adult meets these guidelines, then he's actually officially educated. Is that why there are so many different types of schools? And
yes, we also have a university system that works differently. So for example, I never finished high school. I got mad at it and I decided that I was leaving, so I just enrolled in a university. I understand it's a bit harder to do that here.
I sort of left my school when I was 14.
For what?
Do you want to get into this?
Well, now you're at it, and then we'll do some music and get back to do the shit that Travis bought. But go ahead.
Okay, that's a good point. I left my school because they sort of refused to teach me. That's because the school was in economic trouble, so they sort of said, we cannot really teach you, we can only give you this curriculum, and you're gonna have to do it, and if you fail, you fail, and we can't help you. There was no teacher available to help me. And this was kind of an outrage, and especially my parents were outraged, because I was in a special school for extra attention, so it was very ironic in a way. But I was kind of handy with computers, that's why I'm here. So I went out and saw like a sort of a job, and then you have like the school parent, you know, the school monitoring system to see if the kids are in the school were angry with me because I wasn't going to school, obviously. And then they sent me a letter and say, we're very angry with you. And so we went there and I sort of explained the situation to them. And they said, well, you're not in the street, you know, doing nothing. You're actually working. And that's why I sort of stopped school altogether. And this is why I don't really know anything about the school system after being 14.
Interesting.
Isn't that a... Oh, sorry. All right. Yeah, I won't ask any questions anymore. Again, this terrible music. Yep.
Yep.
Je mag wel vragen, hoor. Maar.
Hoe komt het dat jij zo goed Engels spreekt? Of Amerikaans? How come you speak American so good?
I watch too many television. I don't have a television, but...
Okay.
That's the other broadcaster yesterday also asked me the same question. He said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Amsterdam. He said, okay. So where's the American accent from? I said,
and I'm the Queen of Sweden.
Television.
Good morning.
But I can ook heel goed Amsterdams praten, it's geen probleem.
No, that's not good enough.
Ik ben zo terug, even passen.
Ja.
Oh, je mag trouwens de microfoon maar gewoon heel dicht bij jou.
Oh, ja.
Je kunt het verschil horen, zeg maar, als je de koptelefoon op hebt. Dat je verder weg klinkt dan de rest. Gewoon naar je toe trekken, maakt niet uit.
Moet ik mijzelf kunnen horen?
Ja.
Ja.
Oké. Okay.
En hoe dichterbij, hoe dieper de stem. Ja.
Anders komt er heel veel echo van de tent.
Ik was bij mijn school the other week. One that I went to ages back in high school.
Ja.
And the one of the buildings has collapsed from rainwater.
Oh. Huh?
Well,
it was already in a pretty bad state. Let's see what kind of shit it is.
That's fine.
What is it? Punk, klezmer? This is a music sort. It's music. This kind of music. What do they call it? Punk, klezmer, or?
A ska? I don't know.
Yeah.
Festival, I don't know.
It's 1 minute, isn't it? 50 seconds, yeah. Better that we Brenno niet zien voor het einde van nummer? Nou, voor 10 minuten. Voor een paar minuten na het einde van het nummer.
Ik heb wel andere muziek klaarstaan. Dat is niet Google Bedal, dat is niet CC license.
Nee.
Wil je een aanzetten?
Oh, daar is je alweer. Hey.
Nee, jij. God niet.
Ja, dat weet ik.
Ja, ik kan nog even een liedje opstarten.
Ja, zet maar even. So we put on some more music so you can guys get into the shade a little, and, get into the wind, cool down a little.
Enough time for a coffee?
Yeah, a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Sorry for stealing the subject. I realized halfway through.
No problem. Did they give you any more crap after
the leave? Well, actually, they did. The school monitoring. You're off the street, and therefore, you know, we're just happy. You're a troubled child. Not really, but you're a troubled child. And that sort of doesn't mean that I'm a troubled child. That meant you're troubled too. What that means, right?
Technical term.
And I, well, they sort of bring it in the different.
Let's get coffee.
What they.
Ooh.
Wat een werk allemaal, zeg, voor 4 dagen.
Ja?
Ja. Ik ben erg onder de indruk van de inzet van de meesten hier om werkelijk iets extra's te doen. Hoe simpel ook. Tot heel complex hier. Ja. 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 Leuk hoor. Meneer De Winter, aantreden, quick march. Uit de devil.
Oh, Travis left?
For coffee.
Sorry?
Both of them went for coffee.
Oh, okay.
I told them.
Which is true.
Yeah, but they promised to bring me a beer, so... They didn't, but who cares?
Well, during the break, some important stuff was exchanged. I heard Arno saying that you were getting a beer, but you haven't seen the beer yet.
No, but I have full confidence in our discussion partners that they will get me a lovely beer just to make me discuss something interesting for a change. Instead of all this bollocks about the big G.
You think it's bollocks?
Well, it's so easy to always complain and ridicule successful companies. Yeah, which you do with Microsoft, which you do with Apple, which you do with Google. And let's be honest, it is a hell of an achievement for 2 students to make a company like that. I really admire them for that.
Oh, I do, but you know, the fact that they are, you know, dealing with privacy in the way they are, I think that deserves criticism.
Yeah, that's true, but that's the American viewpoint. That's the way they do these things. It's not a big deal. Secondly, privacy is off. It's passé. The general public doesn't care about privacy. They are very willing to give up almost all their privacy if you give them a little present, like a pencil or an agenda, whatever. And it's shown time and time again that the people really don't care. Look at Facebook, look at all these social networks that people leave behind, just completely voluntarily. And that's one of my big concerns. But people are simply too clumsy, too careless with their own data.
But isn't it because isn't this present on the Facebook, on Google Plus, because people believe, I need to show myself. I need for all my friends to know what I'm doing, and that's why they are putting this data. Because during the time we moved from protecting privacy to being more open. That's why I believe there is such a popularity of reality shows, because people want to be famous. People want to be seen. And that's why they are...
True.
That's how you build a company, indeed, by using the peer pressure.
I mean, there's a little conversation available now from Mark Zuckerberg when he was about 16 or 17 years old, when he built Facebook and he only had 4,000 customers. And he says something to a friend. His friend asks him, how do you get all that data from all these people? And he chats back to this friend and he says, well, they just enter it in. I don't know why they give me all that data, the stupid fucks. That's what he writes. And now 10 years later, he's confronted with that again. I'm not sure if it's completely true, because I really wonder where you get these cheats, these chats from. But it's such a wonderful example that people really talk too much on the internet and they don't realize that. I myself have absolutely no idea why people would make a picture of their food and tweet that. I have no idea. Quite frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn what you had for breakfast. See, it's non-information. I don't know why people do that.
I have read an article, though, a couple of weeks ago, a scientific article on why or whether people actually apply the rules of security and safety. Because many, many people are very aware that they should work much more safely and apply all these rules of changing your password, etc., etc., but they don't.
I can
80% of the people who say, I think I work very, very safely, I know how to do it, they don't do that. And that was what this article was devoted to. Why don't people actually apply these rules themselves? And let me be the first to admit here, in this particular conference, that when I'm back home, I remove the administrator password from my laptop because I'm too lazy to type that in all the time. Don't tell this to anybody, please.
No. It's only between you, me.
Oh, thank you so much.
20,000 listeners and the total intelligence community of 1 million people, I guess.
So don't worry.
I once in a while tweet what I eat, not to show what I eat, but that I'm proud what I made.
Yeah, that could be a good reason. But I mean, you get the idea here. There's so much information there that I don't really think.
Yeah,
well,
there was this one time when I was on Twitter and it started to annoy that somebody was announcing when they went to the toilet to that level. So then, out of anger, I wrote, I wasn't even going to the toilet. I'm going to the toilet now. I'm just before the toilet. I'm sitting down right now. Oh my God, I'm farting a lot. Oh my God, finally. Yeah, it's coming out. It's coming out. Oh yeah. And then people started complaining. We don't want to know. Exactly. That's the point.
Maybe those people who tweet when they go to the toilet, maybe their gastrologist is on their followers and maybe that's kind of medical checkup.
Maybe they're lying.
Maybe they don't go to the toilet at all.
They don't go to the toilet when they say they're going to the toilet.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Kind of, sorta.
The photo I have here of my food is actually not my food. This is what I threw up.
I'm going to the toilet.
We'll have fun. I'll put it on Facebook here.
Sounds like a plan.
So that is basically my big concern when I teach people security lessons. And that has to be aware of that all these little rules are not there just for the fun of it. And I really wonder why people don't do that. I really wonder. Not apply these basic rules of safety and security.
I don't know either, actually. You know, it's. I guess it's too much hassle because they're not aware enough of the real danger. I mean, they are aware that something can happen, that it's vague. Because if it's a seatbelt, most people will put it on. Not all of them, but many will.
I'm looking here for a special picture I made. I'll come back to that in a minute.
Okay,
but
so
if you, yeah.
While you are looking for this picture, I sense some kind of dissonance here because on the one hand people are showing what they had on the breakfast because they are so special. On the other hand, people don't change passwords or even remove administrative password because they believe they are not so important for anybody to attack them. So this is kind of dissonance.
Why?
Because on the one hand, people believe, oh, I'm so special that everyone is interested when I'm on the toilet.
Oh, okay.
On the other hand.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah, go ahead.
On the one hand, I'm so special, so everyone needs to know what I had on my breakfast. On the other hand, I'm nobody, so nobody will. I'm not so interesting. I don't have interesting life, so I don't have nothing to hide. And at the same time, I'm not important target to be attacked. So that's why my password is password.
Or maybe it's because they know that they tweet that they're going to the toilet. And as he pointed out, he said, maybe they're lying. Maybe they're just making this up to make themselves even less important because nobody wants to follow them anymore.
I do. I want to know exactly when somebody goes to the bathroom.
Me too.
See, there used to be a website 2 or 3 years ago, no longer. Burgle Me Not, which was a collection of all these statements people make on Twitter that unveils much more than they think. People complaining that they had been waiting for the train now for 1.5 hours. What do you tell everybody when you say, I'm complaining about the train that's not arriving now for 1.5 hours? Your house is empty. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course, that's one thing. But I also had a situation where I had to go to an administrative appeal at the Department of Security and Justice. Yeah. The trains were falling out. I was tweeting, I'm at Driebergen Zuid. I desperately need to go to The Hague for this administrative hearing. And 3 minutes later, somebody was like, gosh, I have to go in that direction. And I was on my way to the meeting. Yeah. So it has two sides indeed. But people don't bother to think about those two sides. And if you follow me on Twitter, you will find out little where I am or what I do. At home, it's obvious. But on the other hand, I won't.
Yeah, but the difference is you are aware of what you do. You know the consequences. And that is my concern. If people are aware of what they're doing and are aware of the consequences, go ahead. No problem at all.
So there's something about Twitter that confuses me, and I was hoping one of you could explain it, because I'm at a loss. There's a spammer...
That sounds threatening.
There's a spammer called Paperly.
And yes.
What they do is they convince users to give them their account credentials. So if you sign up for their service, and I say service because we're on the radio and I can't say the words that I actually want to use to describe
it. Yes, you can, actually. You're in the Netherlands.
I can.
Yes.
I can say all seven of George Carlin's words?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So now go, do it. Do it first. Before you make your part,
point to hear
the
all
George
seven.
Carlin.
I know it's the tourist thing to do, but I just have to do it. So it is what, tits? What were they? Like damn, hell, fuck, tits.
Motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
Cocksucker.
Cocksucker. There's one more.
The last one was like brief and not that offensive at all.
Tits was the last one.
I'll find it. Like I'll look on YouTube and you
get us the clip.
Yeah.
Okay.
You go ahead and make.
Yeah.
Your
talk
point.
About this service. Now.
Okay. So you give them your account credentials, and what they do is they spam all of your followers once per day with random things that you would have seen on Twitter if you were on Twitter instead of them.
Yes.
I don't understand.
No, that's the point. None of us do.
Right, so who the hell would sign up for this?
I imagine that they will pay you like 25 cents or some ridiculous amount.
They don't pay you anything. They propose this as a way for you to have more algorithmically generated nonsense to spew the world with.
Okay, maybe they say, you want to sound more intelligent and interesting? Give us your credentials and we'll do some intelligent and interesting tweets for you, and they have a different definition than the rest of the world.
Yeah. So I get spam from this, because when my followers, whom I don't even follow, when they have me in their algorithmically generated Paperly thing, it mentions me by name, so Twitter brings it to the front. Now, there is a way to opt out of this, but I figured it'd be more fun to minister to these people. So whenever I get spammed by an account that's been taken over by Paperly, I try to write to this person and to explain to them exactly why this is a dumb idea, and to please ask them to get some taste. And I've not succeeded. Is there a better way?
Can you give me an example of what... I don't have Twitter, so therefore I don't know, but can you give me an example of what Paperly... No, I don't have Facebook either. So can you give me an example of what Paperly actually sends out?
Okay, so there's a guy named Dave Hardy in the UK. If you're listening to this, howdy, Dave. And I'm sorry for calling you out by name, but you've called me out by name and things I'd rather not be mentioned in. So in any case, his account follows mine, and he runs Paperly. So Paperly reads everything that is sent to him on Twitter and everything that he overhears. So when he follows me, if I make a tweet that's particularly popular, then it goes into the Daily Dave newsletter. And then he'll make a tweet. It's like, at Billy Bob, at Travis Goodspeed, at Sammy Joe, you're in the Daily Dave. Click here to see the contents.
Okay, so it's just like a non-interesting link, right?
It's spam, but it's like a spam bot network where every spam bot is a willing participant who's even handing over their identity to further the spam.
Well, then
not
this
only
is
the identity, also the authentication. I mean, Paperly can authenticate on your behalf.
And then that sort of, I can see why you're at a loss, but that sort of indicates how far we've been gone down the rabbit hole, and that I personally hope that this is where it's stopping, right?